It's time now for North Oaks Health Notes, and Dr. Nancy Mellon is joining us this morning, the ENT specialist over at the North Shore Clinic. Good morning, Dr. Mellon.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show.
And thank you for having me. I appreciate opportunity to speak with your listeners. Yes, yeah. This is my first time. I'm happy to be here.
Welcome. Now, you have a special thing going on Thursday, May the 9th, that we want to talk about mainly, and also some of the problems that children have involving that area, ENT, covering all the areas, I guess, ear, nose, and throat, right?
Yes. I'll be talking about children primarily, although I do treat adults as well. But a lot of children have problems with their ears, noses, and throats, and so I'll be addressing those problems with children.
And sometimes from a very early age, too. Huh?
Yes. Ear infections can start in children as young as 6 months or even younger. And the younger a child is when they start with ear infections, the more likely they are to have continued problems. So it is an important problem to address.
And sometimes, I mean, the parents don't always know that it's the ears. That sometimes it's just the baby crying, and we're not can't figure out what, because since the baby can't talk to us and tell us what the problem is. They later go into the doctor, and then all of a sudden they find out it is their ears.
Yes, that's very true. Children may run fever when they have ear infections, but they may not. They may just be cranky and fussy, and generally not feel well because obviously they can't tell us what's wrong.
Right. How do you notice any trend as far as that you're getting more and more of these cases, or less and less, or is it pretty much staying consistent?
I think it pretty much stays consistent, although with the advent of daycare and more children in daycare does play a big role in ear infections in children, as does smoke exposure in the home. Also, breastfeeding helps to prevent ear infections. Breastfeeding is actually beneficial for the prevention of ear infections and also for children to develop an immune response to be able to fight infection.
Yeah. Now, I was looking at some of the notes here, and they talk about tonsillitis and adenoid removal, of course, but sleep apnea and snoring is not anything I would relate to children.
Right. Mostly people think of sleep apnea and an older man, you know.
Obese,
who falls asleep while watching television and snores like a freight train. But I've even had family members tell me that my child snores louder than my husband and even the dog. And when all three of them are in the room, it's just awful.
And even the dog.
And snoring in children should never be ignored. It is something that definitely needs to be evaluated. Because when children snore, it can be a sign of what we call obstructive sleep apnea, where the airway is actually being blocked during sleep. And this can lead to a lot of problems with the child.
And does that involve the tonsils as well? Does the tonsils are part of snoring?
90% of children who have sleep apnea and who snore, it's going to be a problem related to the tonsils and the adenoids. There are other issues that can cause snoring, such as colds, flu, runny nose, that kind of thing, nasal congestion, but those are going to be temporary. But when a child has long-term, frequent, chronic snoring, then that's something that really does need to be looked into.
Now, I think of, you know, everybody getting their tonsils out when they're kids and stuff, but everybody does not get their tonsils out, right? Because some people even look at problems down the road when they're adults, which is, I hear, a little bit more painful to go through than at a child stage.
Yes, it is. And I do have patients who come in their 40s and say, oh, I wish I'd had my tonsils out when I was 6.
Yeah.
And they told me that I needed to and I didn't, or my mother didn't want me to, or the doctor didn't recommend it, or for whatever reason they didn't have it done. And now they really need to have it done. And the recovery is a lot more difficult when you're older. It's just children heal so beautifully.
Yes.
They're so resilient. They bounce back so quickly. And adults, you know, unfortunately, it just takes us a little bit longer to recover.
Right. Now, what exactly is tonsillitis when people talk about tonsillitis? So just the swelling?
No. Tonsillitis is actually infection in the tonsil tissue. The tonsil tissue has pits in it, and these pits can build up debris and hold bacteria. And when they get recurrent and chronic tonsillitis, they may get an antibiotic, get treated, they get better. But then 2 weeks later, they're sick again, and the infection has come back. And some of these patients things can actually hold a strep bacteria in the tonsils and become chronic strep carriers and also have chronic strep infections. And a lot of us don't realize now that chronic strep infections can actually do a lot of damage to the body, because when the body has an infection, it tries to fight that infection with antibodies. Antibodies are made by the body to fight infection, but unfortunately, in the case of a strep infection, they will also attack our kidneys, and you can end up with permanent kidney damage as a result of chronic
wow.
strep infections.
It's quite involved. And is this something that may be related to genetics? Or no?
Enlarged tonsils or tonsillar hypertrophy can certainly have a genetic predisposition, but tonsils can also be enlarged because they have been chronically infected, or perhaps due to allergies or some other stimulant to the upper airway that causes the tonsil tissue to enlarge.
Gotcha. Now, if we are looking at sleep apnea, we talked a little bit about it earlier. Do they have to get the machines that the adults get to in order to sleep, or is something else happens as far
well,
as
actually some children actually do need to have CPAP. That's the machine. It stands for continuous positive airway pressure, but that isn't necessarily the first treatment option. But yes, it can be used in children.
All right. Now, let's talk about the clinic, this seminar, I should say, coming up on Thursday, May the 9th. Is that correct?
Yes, Thursday, May the 9th at 6 p.m. It will be in the North Oaks Outpatient Diagnostic Center in the Brent Dufresne Conference Center, rooms A and B.
And who is this open to?
This is open to the public. We welcome everybody to come. Please bring your questions. We'll have unlike the radio show where we can't ask questions, they'll be able to bring their questions, and I'll be happy to answer any questions and provide additional information on pediatric ear, nose, and throat problems.
All right. So parents are encouraged to attend. Maybe bring the kids to this event.
It is at 6 o'clock. Maybe the kids are getting ready for bed and eating their dinner. It probably would be best without the children, so that parents will be free to pay more attention and to be able to ask questions. North Oaks would appreciate if people would call to register for the event, so that we can plan on having everything ready for the numbers of attendees.
I see. So to register, you can call this number here, 230-6647. That's 985-230-6647. Again, it'll take place at the North Oaks Diagnostic Center at the E. Brent Dufresne Conference Center, rooms A and B. Right, limited space. Register now. Call today. You'll be talking about tonsillitis,
ear infections, sinus infections, and allergies in children.
All right, and we'll be talking about like even to the point to where you have to put tubes in the kids' ears.
Yes,
that seems to be common thing too these days.
Tubes are very common to place in the ear of children. Years ago, before we had tubes, ear, nose, and throat doctors would actually hold children down in the office and make a little cut in the eardrum to drain the infection behind the eardrum. Kids Ooh. Who had that done remember it as 40-year-old adults. And frequently what would happen is that they would not tell their parents that they had an ear infection because they just didn't want to go through
really?
That. So tubes have really been a great advent in the prevention of really chronic ear disease and to prevent permanent hearing loss as well as a result of ear infections.
So it could be permanent hearing loss, too, if you don't take care of that.
Untreated chronic ear infections, yes, can lead to a lot of different complications, one of them being permanent hearing loss.
All right. Find out more with Dr. Nancy Mellon at the E. Brent Dufresne Center, Conference Center, North Oaks Diagnostic Center. That's Thursday, May the 9th, 6 p.m., 230-6647 to register early. Dr. Nancy Mellon, our special guest this morning, ENT specialist over at North Oaks. Thank you, Dr. Mellon.
Well, and thank you so much for having me, Johnny. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you coming by.
Thank you.
27 after the hour of 8 o'clock here at Tangent 96.5. That's our Talk in the T Part 1 with Dr. Mellon and North Oaks Health Notes. We'll be back with Part 2 coming up in the next half hour. Of course, Part 1 being brought to you by Douglas Kent Jewelers.